The date is September 13th, 1971. At 2:30 a.m., an aircraft crashes into eastern Mongolian grassland. A few hours earlier, it had taken off from Hebei in northeast China, near the town of Beidao. All souls perished on the plane, including, we think, one of the most important people in modern Chinese politics. The primary victim on that plane was Lin Biao, China's Minister of Defense, head of the People's Liberation Army, and Mao's chosen successor. How did this occur? Was it deliberate or accidental? The Cultural Revolution is in full swing in China. Military units are battling each other over who's more loyal to Mao. Rumors are trickling out that Lin had planned a coup against Mao. What were the events that led to Lin's death? Tonight we will unravel the mysterious death of Lin Biao. I am your host, Tor Parsons. These are my co-hosts, Jollibee the Durian and Thimble the Doll, and welcome to Tor's Cabinet of Curiosities. So, as I said in the last episode, I was planning to spend this fall in Taiwan studying Mandarin. Between working on Tor's Cabinet and my long-distance relationship, I couldn't make that work, and I left after just a week and moved in with my girlfriend in New York. Now I can keep up a weekly upload schedule through the rest of 2025. I'm in the most dynamic city in the world. Lin Biao was born in Huanggang in Hubei in central China on December 5th, 1907. His parents were part of the merchant class, which was an interesting rung of society in Imperial China, often wealthy but scorned in polite society and considered lower class. The Confucian class system placed administrators and intellectuals on top and merchants below peasants. The merchant class was obviously derided by the communists, but it was also where a lot of the early communists came from and recruited from because they had the money to get a good education and read Marx, but also felt oppressed compared to the historic scholar official families who were on top. As a teen, Lin went to Shanghai to further his education, where he joined the Communist Youth League in 1925. Shanghai in the 1920s was quite the place. Foreign concessions dominated most of the city, areas where Chinese control was de facto subordinate to a coalition of 14 foreign powers. It was an odd bunch. There were the main European powers, Japan and America, but Peru, Mexico, and neutral Switzerland were all part of the Shanghai Treaty government too. As a share of the global economic and geopolitical power, Latin America in general was a lot richer and more powerful in those days. Thousands of people from the Western world and Japan lived in Shanghai. Stage actors and jazz musicians from America and Britain would stop there on world tours. Meanwhile, China was starving. Shanghai International Settlement residents would step over dying Chinese people on their way out of the opera. The millennia-old imperial system had collapsed around when Lin was born, and China had no central government. The Kuomintang, under Chiang Kai-shek, was soon to take control over the Shanghai area and usher in the Nanjing Decade, a 10-year period when China was relatively stable and prosperous relative to what came before and after, but that didn't start until 1927, and Shanghai was effectively a foreign colony. Protests, often organized by the communists, regularly broke out against Western powers, Chinese warlords, and especially the Japanese. The spark of a mass movement was lit after a Japanese company that ran a Shanghai cotton mill had a Japanese security guard kill a Chinese worker for promoting a strike, provoking national outrage. The flames blew higher when, on May 30th, 1925, the CCP organized a protest against the Japanese. The Shanghai Municipal Police, interestingly composed mostly of Sikhs from British India, fired on the protesters, killing 9 people. The communists responded with a general strike, the May 30th movement. This event galvanized Lin Biao, as it did a lot of Chinese people. After high school, Lin enlisted in the Huangpu Military Academy in Guangzhou and participated in the Northern Expedition, a joint Kuomintang and communist military campaign to take back the Chinese interior from the regional warlords who had sprung up in the wake of the imperial system's collapse. The Kuomintang and the communists obviously did not remain allies for long, and during the Nanjing decade, Lin escaped the Kuomintang-controlled Shanghai area to the Jiangxi Fujian Soviet, a rural mountainous region where the CCP was hiding at. There, he met Mao Zedong, not yet the unquestioned leader of the communists, and became one of Mao's greatest and closest supporters. While stationed in the Jiangxi region, Lin became a senior commander. Foreigners covering the communists wrote that compared to Mao's charisma, Lin was more of the strong and silent type. He was described by Otto Braun, a Soviet Comintern representative, as politically a blank sheet on which Mao could write as he pleased. American journalist Edgar Snow agreed Lin, quote, seemed shy and reserved. There are no stories reflecting warmth and affection for his men. He was a ruthlessly skilled commander, though, and in Snow's words, as the Japanese invaded and war began again, Lin specialized in feints, masked strategies, ambushes, flank attacks, pounces from the rear, and stratagems. With Mao Zedong, Lin Biao shared the distinction of being one of the few Red commanders never wounded. Engaged on the front in more than 100 battles, in field command for more than 10 years, exposed to every hardship that men have known, he miraculously remained unhurt and in good health. In 1938, while fighting against Japanese forces in the north, Lin was shot in the back by a Japanese sharpshooter. While recovering from his injuries, he contracted tuberculosis. Lin was largely absent from the battlefield in World War II as he was too sick to fight, so he was sent to Moscow to serve as the representative of the CCP to the Executive Committee of the Communist International. Though he did return to China after the Japanese surrender to take over Manchuria and make it into the Communist Northeast Military District. Of course, once the Kuomintang and the Communists kicked out the Japanese, they fought each other. They couldn't both rule China. By the time Chiang Kai-shek and the Kuomintang fled to Taiwan, and the Chinese Communists won the Civil War and proclaimed the People's Republic of China in 1949, Lin was proclaimed one of the 10 Marshals, members of Mao's inner circle. In 1958, Peng Dehuai, who was Mao's defense minister, gave a speech that called for more cooperation between China and the USSR. This cost Peng his career, as Mao wanted to move China away from Soviet control. This was known as the Sino-Soviet split, and it would get much more intense in the 60s. Peng also criticized Mao's disastrous Great Leap Forward, a famine-inducing attempt at increasing agricultural and industrial output. In terms of the number of deaths, it was the largest atrocity ever committed by a single government. Lin then condemned Peng as a careerist, conspiracist, and hypocrite. Lin replaced Peng as defense minister. His power was second only to Mao. During his tenure as defense minister, he abolished, quote, all signs and privileges of rank, removed men who he deemed sympathetic to the USSR, made soldiers work part-time in industrial and agricultural jobs, and the military was to be indoctrinated in Mao Zedong thought. Lin also instituted reforms to ensure the party was elevated and in control of the military. All of these reforms were supported by Mao. Lin used his role as Minister of Defense to spread Mao's personality cult. He carried out national campaigns promoting Mao Zedong thought. He also compiled Mao's quotes into the Quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, aka the Little Red Book. Yes, the Little Red Book is largely Lin Biao's brainchild. It was a good time to be on Mao's good side because increasingly few people were. In August 1966, Mao purged his long-standing designated successor, Liu Shaoqi, and replaced him with Lin Biao. That marked the beginning of the Cultural Revolution. In subsequent months and years, Mao purged nearly everyone who was anyone in Chinese politics, such as his long-ago second-in-command and future successor, Deng Xiaoping. Lin also directed the Red Guards to destroy who Mao saw as bourgeois reactionary authorities, royalists of the bourgeoisie, and the Four Olds. Lin also released the students at the military academies to join the Cultural Revolution. He purged officers and commissaires and told the students to rebel against their officers. Students under Lin's orders removed General Xiao Hua, who was head of the PLA's political department and also assisted in the purging of 40 other officials within the department. From 1966 to 1969, Lean carried out widespread purges within the PLA of over 80,000 officers. This had the added effect of destroying PLA research within military academies and widespread destruction of military fortifications and loss of general training of the military. In April 1969, at the Ninth Central Committee of the CCP, Mao called Lin one of his closest comrades in arms and successor, and was recognized within the party's constitution as Mao's designated successor. His supporters were known as the Lin Biao clique, and he had substantial support in the Politburo. His only chief rival during the Cultural Revolution would have been Mao's wife, Jiang Qing. All that is backstory. Here we get to the event that defined Lin's life and death. The Lin Biao incident, as it's still known, possibly the greatest mystery in recent Chinese history. What happened in September 1971 regarding Lin Biao's death remains largely unknown. It's not even universally agreed on that Lin Biao died in September 1971, although most people agree on that part. Every single aspect is disputed. What most people agree on is that a plane, flying over Mongolia, out of China, toward the Russian border, crashed in the dry Mongolian steppe. Lin Biao was aboard, and he died. Some people have called into question even those details. This is largely compounded by the fact that the Chinese government has destroyed all files related to Lin's death. The party has stated in its reconstruction of the events that it relied upon, quote, the alleged confessions of purged officials that were affiliated with Lin Biao. Scholars remain skeptical about the reliability of these confessions as an accurate source. If records do exist, they are sealed away and have not been made available to the public, let alone outside scholars. The official narrative of the Chinese government was that on September 13th, 1971, Lin Biao had carried out a failed coup against Mao Zedong, known as Project 571, Wu Ti'i, as this was a homophone for armed uprising, Wu Ti'i, only the tones are different. When the coup failed, he fled on a Hawker Siddeley Trident airliner belonging to the Chinese Air Force, with his co-conspirators and family, attempting to seek asylum in the Soviet Union. As the plane lacked the necessary fuel to get to the USSR, it crashed in Ondorkhan, Mongolia. The party does not support any re-evaluation of Lin's motivation because it does not want to have contradictory evidence that challenges what we see as the official narrative, because that could lead to criticism of Mao Zedong or the events of the Cultural Revolution. The Chinese government did not announce Lin's death within the party till mid-October, and not to the public till November. Within the first few weeks after the incident, all military officials that were identified as being either close to Lin or were part of his immediate family were purged. On September 14th, the day after the crash, Premier Zhou Enlai announced that four of the highest-ranking military officers within the Politburo were suspended and submitted self-criticism sessions due to their associations with Lin. By October, over 1,000 senior military members were purged. In August 1973, the party also removed the clause within the constitution indicating Lin as Mao's successor at the 10th Central Committee. Huo Guofeng, the deathbed successor to Mao, spread stories that Lin had conspired with the Soviets to assassinate Mao. By 1973, Jiang Qing, Mao's wife, started the Criticize Lin, Criticize Confucius campaign, which was also used as a way to attack Zhou Enlai. The campaign highlighted Lin's alleged private criticisms of Mao, asserting that all mistakes one can make were due to deviating from Mao's instructions. In 1981, after Mao had died and the formerly purged party member Deng Xiaoping seized control in the ensuing power vacuum, the Chinese government held trials for the atrocities committed in the Cultural Revolution. The government held Jiang Qing, the Gang of Four, and Lin Biao responsible for being, quote, counter-revolutionary cliques. The party blamed Lin for taking advantage of Mao to advance the goals of the chairman's enemies. The party also blamed Lin for the purge of Liu Shaoqi, Mao's original successor, who was rehabilitated under Deng. Lin is still remembered today as a villain in Chinese society and has never been rehabilitated. 2007 marked the 100th anniversary of Lin Biao's birth. It received no mention in the People's Daily, state television, radio, or the national press agency Xinhua. Lin's portrait is still housed in the Military Museum in Beijing, but the wing that houses his portrait was closed for renovation at the time. So, what the hell happened on that day in September? Not long after Lin's death, there was a Soviet investigation carried out. They determined that the pilot crashed because he'd misjudged his altitude, trying to fly low to escape radar detection. this report was not declassified until after the cold. Jonathan Chatwin, an American journalist who writes about China, contends that Lin Liguo, Lin Biao's son, was aware of Mao's growing distrust of his father in numerous speeches Mao gave, and that that was the seed for the coup. The original plan was purportedly to have Mao killed aboard his private train. Zhou Enlai reportedly asked Mao if Lin's fleeing plane should be shot down, and Mao said, "Rain has to fall, girls have to marry, these things are immutable, let them go." Dramatic son of a bitch. Skeptics assert that the official narrative does not explain why Lin, a noted tactician, would carry out such a poorly planned coup. Nor did the state narrative offer explanation as to how and why Lin's plane crashed. It ran out of fuel? That shouldn't happen. A Hawker Siddeley Trident on a full tank of fuel has a range of 2,700 miles or 4,300 kilometers. If it took off from the vicinity of Beijing, it could easily have gotten to a number of cities in Soviet territory. Subsequent investigations have suggested the plane took off from Qinhuangdao on the coast, but that's not far from Beijing and the conclusions are still the same. Based on where it crashed, its destination was probably Ulan-Ude, a Russian city with a substantial military base at the time. That full flight is less than a quarter of the plane's maximum range, and also, a Hawker Siddeley Trident is a passenger jet, not a military jet, so the maximum range is based on the expectation that there's a person in every seat. Considering that I think all the narratives of the crash suggest that there were only a few people on board, the plane would have been much lighter than expected and consume less fuel. On a full tank, they might have been able to get all the way to Moscow. Maybe they didn't have enough time to fully fuel the plane before they left, sure, but they could at least have gotten to Ulan-Ude, which is really not a long flight. Also, why did Lin flee to the Soviet Union when he could have fled to the US or Taiwan? Western historians of China believe that Lin lacked the intentions or ability to usurp Mao's place within the party or government. In 1973, Ding Yingqiao, wife of Zhou Enlai, stated to a group of American delegates to China that the CIA knew of Lin's death before the Soviets, and the CIA's information was, quote, accurate. Well, let's look at that assertion from Ding and see how accurate that statement really was. That's kind of a remarkable thing to assert because the CIA's reporting on China around the time was killing Fidel Castro levels of incompetence. From the end of the Chinese Civil War to Kissinger's overtures to China under Nixon, the unofficial US policy on mainland China was to just ignore it. In the early 1950s, the CIA included two small, top-secret, poorly funded cells, each trying to overthrow Mao. One that was trying to replace him with Chiang Kai-shek, one trying to replace him with someone within the CCP. Neither group knew about the other one's existence. That was a comedy of errors. Chiang Kai-shek exploited it to get the US to send lots of money to Taiwan. I might do a full episode about this era of US-China relations soon, but from then on, the CIA had very little information about what was going on in mainland China, and it showed. They had some people in Taiwan, but after Chiang Kai-shek hoodwinked the CIA before, they were under orders to take everything the Kuomintang told them with a grain of salt. They had some people in Hong Kong, and then a British colony, but they were under orders not to believe what the mainland Chinese refugees pouring into Hong Kong told them about the Cultural Revolution, which would probably have been the best source they could get. But as we saw, some figures in the inner circle of the Chinese government said that when it comes to Lin Biao, the CIA had the full story. So, what was the story? The CIA viewed Lin Biao as the, quote, least known figure in Chinese politics, due to his limited contact with foreigners. He only ever spoke Chinese. Lin was thought to suffer from tuberculosis, and the CIA assessed around 1970 that he had a life expectancy of just 5 more years. Internal CIA files show that the significance of the Cultural Revolution continued to be discounted. The CIA informed President Johnson that the Red Guard's call for the death of Deng Xiaoping and Chen Yi was, quote, yelping to little effect. The Red Guards were supposedly operating under the orders of different factions within the top leadership, with no agency of their own. Mao was a figurehead role within the CCP who had, quote, little to do with the Red Guard campaign. All of this could not be more of the exact opposite of the truth. By mid-December 1966, the CIA continued making their assessment to the president that Lin Biao was the real true architect of the Cultural Revolution, even after they'd put out a previous statement that Lin had, quote, no aspirations for the top job. Lastly, the CIA highlighted Mao's choice of Lin as heir apparent and the removal of Liu Shaoqi as further proof that Mao's decision-making capabilities were impaired by his extensive health issues. They wrote about Lin's loyalty to Mao across three reports in 1970. The first report, titled China's Leadership in the Wake of the Cultural Revolution, states that the CIA was, quote, continually uncertain as to who was running China. What complicated this analytical judgment was Mao's age, 77 at the time, his few public appearances, and different elites claiming to be carrying out Mao's will while doing different things. The CIA took all these signs as confirmation that Mao was, again, no longer in control, and that there was no evidence to suggest that Lin had been deemed unfit to lead after Mao. However, Lin's claim to power was entirely dependent on Mao's continued support of him. The second report, Lin Biao and the Great Helmsman, described Lin's 35-year-long devotion to Mao as dog-like, arguing that Lin had given Mao, quote, crucial support against his rivals over decades to keep Mao in power, and he, quote, completely identified with Mao, risking his political career to align with Mao. The CIA described the relationship between Lin and Mao as a cynical exploitation of the old man's insatiable vanity, with Lin maintaining the call for absolute faith in Mao. Lin was said to be no different from Stalin's sycophants. Lastly, in the CIA's eyes, Lin had proved his fidelity to Mao, and there was very little chance he would turn against Mao, refuse Mao's orders, or force Mao into retirement or assassinate him. Nor would Mao, quote, change his mind regarding Lin. According to a CIA psychological profile on Lin Biao, Lin was a reliable revolutionary successor, and that to conclude otherwise would mean Lin had engaged in a 35-year complete deception. A December 1970 CIA report, Lin Biao and the Structure of Power, continued to hold on to the assessment that Lin Biao, quote, has been completely loyal to Mao, proving his loyalty during the Cultural Revolution by purging the PLA, which included his own protégés. The report did note that Lin's relations with the Politburo were seen as uneven, and that he had a long way to go before he could dominate the party as he did the PLA, which, under his tenure, became a core instrument of power within the Chinese government. The CIA believed the threat of a coup against Mao was pretty low, as was the threat of a coup against Lin, since they had created a, quote, elaborate system of mutual surveillance to prevent such actions from occurring against themselves. The system was assessed to be probably reliable. For a conspiracy to be successful, it would require the cooperation of several officials across numerous strategic centers, which would be very difficult to recruit from without exposing the plot. The CIA assessed that the most likely threat of a coup came not from Lin, but rather from his own protégés, which was seen as a, quote, strong possibility if he sought to carry out another purge within the military. The CIA also stressed that Lin would be dead by the end of the 1970s due to tuberculosis. The report affirmed the CIA's core conclusion that Lin had, quote, the complete confidence of Mao, and Mao was unlikely to forfeit it. Why would he launch a coup if Mao was in poor health and he was Mao's designated successor? He was on his way to absolute power, or so thought the CIA. In the summer of 1971, prior to Lin's September incident, there were no warning signs or reasons to question Lin Biao's loyalty to Mao. In Annex, Mao's China 1962-71, the CIA stated that if Lin's health failed due to his tuberculosis, or if he was removed, the only alternate candidate to succeed Mao would be Zhou Enlai. Regarding Lin's ability to rule post-Mao, the CIA stated that he lacked Mao's charisma and that he would, quote, probably be unable to maintain the radical direction of Mao. Lin would be reliant upon his alliances in the PLA to secure his right to rule. There was nothing in the report to suggest that Lin Biao would carry out a coup a few months later or that he had lost Mao's confidence. A review of the CIA documents produced prior to the coup attempt showcases a blinkered analysis of Chinese events, a refusal to look at alternate perspectives with regards to internal threats, as well as a refusal to revisit past assessments. At no point in the early 70s were there any revisions to past CIA assessments that inaccurately elevated Lin's role as the supreme architect of the Cultural Revolution, or those that claimed he was truly running China with Mao being pushed aside. Rather, faith in Lin was maintained and never questioned within the documents that have been released. This is a recurring issue within the CIA analysis on Chinese politics. According to the presidential daily briefings of October 3rd and 4th, 1971, there was no information on the status of Mao, Lin Biao, or other military leaders. All that was known was that they had been, quote, out of sight since September 10th. During the National Day celebration on October 1st, Chinese media was said to be obfuscating the event to prevent, quote, foreign speculation about the leadership situation or any potential power struggles, there were fewer National Day celebrations than on any October 1st before or since under the PRC. The CIA believed that either Lin or Mao could be dead, or that there could be a coup brewing against both of them. By October 9th, 1971, it was finally noted that none of the top military leaders within the Politburo had been seen since September 11th, which led to the assumption that Lin had experienced a, quote, physical or political condition, as he had not been seen in public since June. There were rumors that an unknown number of people had been arrested for simply saying Lin was in poor health. The October 12, 1971 briefing stated that local authorities in China appeared to be, quote, ignorant of Lin Biao's disappearance, but there were no signs that China's internal security had deteriorated. The October 18, 1971 briefing noted that the Chinese were discussing the creation of, quote, collective leadership, which added further speculation as to what really happened to Lin Biao. The Chinese spokesperson, quote, evaded questions regarding the status of Lin. The Chinese state press did not publicize a toast to either Mao or Lin's health at state functions, as there usually was, nor had Lin's name been cited since mid-September. However, it did appear again in provincial broadcasts on October 8th. It was not until December 2nd that the CIA could confirm that Lin Biao had been purged, but stopped short of announcing he was dead. Joint editorials from the People's Daily, Red Flag, and Liberation Army Journal on November 30th gave the first official reaction to his purging, blaming it on a conspiracy. Other conspirators were said to be involved, and there would subsequently be a dilution of military authority across China. A January 1972 CIA report found indications that Zhou Enlai had blocked Lin's appointment as successor to Mao. Lin's actions during the Cultural Revolution were found to have created enemies within the military, all of which contributed to his downfall. The impact of Lin Biao's death had, quote, no discernible repercussions on internal party stability, and it was, quote, highly probable that Mao would designate another successor. Meanwhile, it was found to be, quote, quite likely that post-Mao China would be ruled through a collective leadership under Zhou Enlai if he remained healthy. A July 1972 weekly intelligence report finally found that Lin had been removed in the autumn of 1971 due to a coup attempt, in which he plotted assassinating Mao. A document titled the 571 document, that was allegedly published and being distributed by the Chinese government, was said to be Lin's secret manifesto against Mao. The CIA simply described the 571 document as a, quote, curious document, never confirming if it was fake or authentic, yet they still relied on it to form the foundation of their assessment regarding Lin's death. The document refers to Mao as a, quote, suspicious and cruel maniac who is ruining China's economy and spreading discontent among the working class. Most serious historians examining the incident doubt that the 571 document was written by Lin Biao, but it most likely wasn't written as propaganda to denounce Lin, and it may have been written by his son, Lin Liguo, who, again, some people studying this whole incident believe was the actual brains behind the coup attempt. In 1972, the CIA carried out a review of the failure to predict Lin Biao's ouster. The report was titled, quote, The Purge of Lin Biao's Conspiratorial Clique, a Tentative Reconstruction, and served as the primary internal review of the CIA's analysis regarding Lin Biao's death. The intro stated that there was a largely credible case put forth by the CCP against Lin and his conspirators. The official party line was that Lin had begun planning his coup as early as January 1971, but had overestimated his own support while underestimating Mao's forces. The timeline of events, according to the CIA, occurred as follows. First, Lin was not promoted to chairman in March 1970. Second, Wen Yucheng, a key protege of Lin, who was commander of the Beijing garrison, was purged, and his successor was not a protege of Lin. Third, Lin's protégés were not placed on the reactivated General Political Department of the PLA. All of this indicates that people were getting suspicious of Lin. Fourth, the CIA theorized that it was likely that Mao begun the purge of Lin and his supporters in June 1971 due to Lin's opposition to Mao and Zhou's meeting with Richard Nixon. Subsequently, he carried out his failed coup and died en route to the USSR. The CIA stated in their reconstruction of Lin's coup that their evidence was based entirely on official Chinese government accounts. According to the official Chinese narrative, early September 1971 was when Lin and his conspirators began planning to assassinate Mao while on a trip to Shanghai. The CIA stated that it was, quote, impossible to present evidence that this plan was real, or if Mao had learned of Lin's conspiracy. Whatever did happen, Mao took immediate action against Lin on September 12, 1971, and either Mao or Zhou Enlai, acting in Mao's name, purged Lin and his supporters. On the night of September 12, 13, Lin, his wife, and son left Beijing on a Trident jetliner. The plane crashed near the Soviet border at 3 a.m. State media concealed Lin's death by stating that he was off carrying out military preparations against the Soviet Union and refused to admit he was dead to foreigners. During this time, the government began to erase Lin's association with Mao. His pages within the Little Red Book were removed, and his name became synonymous with traitor. The CIA had difficulties in fully accepting the official Chinese government narrative of Lin's coup, noting the following objections. First, if Lin was involved in a conspiracy, why would the core document of his clique, the 571 document, be so easily traced to him? Second, why did Mao not immediately arrest Lin and his supporters, but allow him to escape? The CIA theorized that while a single phone call could have stopped Lin, it was seen as conceivable that Mao deliberately permitted Lin to flee to ensure that a credible case against him could be made by the state. Then they shot him down and claimed he ran out of fuel. But none of Lin's protégés were arrested immediately, though, either. Third, the CIA were skeptical of the claim that it was Lin's daughter, Lin Lihong, who informed the party of her father's plans. That was who they claimed revealed the whole thing, but according to the CIA, quote, it made no sense for the daughter to be involved, as it was not known what purpose she would have served in the removal of Mao or why she would have been included in this conspiracy in the first place. Fourth, the CIA assessed Lin's escape flight as, quote, hastily organized and poorly planned, even claiming that it cannot be proved that Lin Biao, his wife, and his son were among the nine people who died in the plane crash in Outer Mongolia. Lastly, the CIA did not know what role Jiang Qing and Zhou Enlai had played in Lin's downfall, as they had both been allies and enemies of Lin in the few years leading up to it. The CIA assessed, in their own recreation of Lin's coup, that it began as early as January 1971, but Lin overestimated his own support and underestimated Mao's. The removal of Lin solidified Mao as a dominant figure into the 1970s, despite his deteriorating health. Those who sought to challenge Mao after this did so at great peril. In October 1972, the CIA followed up on their analysis of Lin Biao by releasing a report titled Policy Issues in the Purges of Lin Biao. This included a new assertion that Mao's disillusionment with Lin Biao began in 1969, not June 1971 as they had previously claimed. The rationale for this revised assessment was that Mao had found the People's Liberation Army to hold a, quote, defective working style, and that the PLA had created mistakes in carrying out regime policies. What those mistakes were was never highlighted or elaborated on within the report. If the record did indicate that Mao had lost faith in Lin in 1969, it bears repeating that not a single CIA intelligence assessment from that time until the first internal review of Lin's death in 1971 ever considered Lin's loyalty or position an area of concern. No signs of a coup were ever acknowledged by the China team until after the fact, nor was Lin's loyalty ever found to be in question until after his disappearance. Even Mao usually had a reason to purge the people he purged. In the end, the CIA concluded in a November 9, 1972 briefing that the actual facts surrounding Lin's death in September 1971 may never be known. Oh, but it gets weirder. Didn't I say that every aspect of the story has been questioned by someone official sounding, up to and including whether Lin died that day at all? You've heard the official Chinese narrative. You've heard the official US narrative, such as there is one, but the crash happened on Mongolian territory, and here's the official Mongolian narrative. On April 18th, 1990, Ochir Sanjichar, an official within Mongolia's Department of Foreign Affairs, stated the following. We did not find anything to suggest that Marshal Lin was on the aircraft. We conducted an investigation and found that it was a Chinese aircraft and that the victims were Chinese, but there was no evidence that the marshal was among the victims. Damsansap Nyambayar, deputy commissioner of the Armed Forces of Mongolia, stated, at the time, Lin Biao was in China. A group of Chinese officials were taken to see the wreckage of the aircraft. China probably had its reasons for saying he was on the aircraft. What reasons? The Mongolians never stated how they came to that conclusion or whether these Chinese officials were involved in any Mongolian investigation into Lin's death. Reading between the lines here, what this narrative implies is that, I guess, Lin fell out of favor with Mao for reasons the world may never know, was killed in China, possibly in September, possibly later on when the party announced his death in October, and then they tried to claim that he started a coup and fled. A simple story, then who was playing? Why did a Chinese Air Force jet, a passenger jet belonging to the Air Force, crash in Mongolia on its way to the USSR? Arguably China's greatest enemy at that point. Who was actually on that? What was their intention? Why did they crash? Why did they say it was Lin Biao on board? In 1994, a team of Western scholars examined evidence that was collected across Russia, Mongolia, mainland China, and Taiwan. They concluded that Lin Biao and his family were all killed in the crash, but they found a different twist in the story that's arguably even stranger, arguably even harder to fit into any kind of narrative. Lin's plane was flying away from the Soviet Union, back towards China, as opposed to the official narrative, making the sequence of Lin's death even more shadowed in mystery. Also, because the plane had caught fire and burned for a long time after the crash, it was assumed to have easily enough fuel for a long flight, and certainly wasn't running empty when it crashed. The scholars doubted the Chinese claim that Lin was seeking asylum in the Soviet Union, and they theorized that Lin's wife and son had been forced to board the plane against their will. It was also alleged that Lin had tried contacting Taiwan twice before his death. So, wait. Were Lin Biao, his family, and his allies being exiled from China to the USSR by Mao? And then when the USSR turned them away and made them go back to China, Mao had the plane shot down? I guess that's coherent with the claims from this investigation, but defecting to a rival major power usually isn't something that's forced on a political dissident. If Lin was such a skilled strategist, why would Mao want to hand him over to the Soviets? This pulls out too many rugs for me. Ultimately, I have to believe that Lin Biao was on that plane fleeing China. But no narrative makes complete sense. No narrative even mostly makes sense. And dead men tell no tales. The town nearest to Lin Biao's crash site was renamed by the Mongolian government in 2013, from Ondorkan to Chinggis City, in honor of its most famous resident, Chinggis Khan. Mongolia is not sorry for Genghis Khan. They're still extremely proud of the time when their remote, desolate little country struck fear into the hearts of the whole civilized world. After Genghis Khan's death, he became a central deity of Tengrism, the traditional Mongolian religion that worships the sky. Ulaanbaatar's airport is named after Genghis Khan too, and on the outskirts of the city there's a 130-foot statue of him on a horse, the tallest equestrian statue in the world, facing out towards the steppe where he was born, and, according to legend, where he was buried. He has a mausoleum in Inner Mongolia, which is part of China, but that's pretty much just a tourist attraction. Popular myths hold that a massive burial ceremony was held for Genghis Khan, after which the Khan's soldiers killed all the attendees and then committed suicide so that nobody would know where he's buried. Or that a river was diverted to flow over Genghis's burial site so that it couldn't be dug up. Neither are likely to be true, but we still don't know where Genghis Khan was buried. The most plausible location is out in the steppe somewhere in eastern Mongolia, somewhere most likely not too far from where Lin Biao probably fell out of the sky. Like Genghis Khan, Lin Biao's talent as a battlefield commander was nearly superhuman in his youth. Like Genghis Khan, he survived and remained powerful through decades of purges, backstabbing, and internal coups, masterfully playing the game of diplomacy. Until, one day, somehow, he couldn't. Somewhere out there are the graves of two great warriors, but the sands keep shifting. And perhaps it's comforting to know that in a world where we keep discovering more and more, the circumstances of both their deaths will remain a mystery.